This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. Well, today we're going to cover some things a little differently, and I want to bring you up to date, and I will send this out in my next letter. Our annual websites to statistics for cbcg.org. And before I give them, I want to tell you about a phone call that I had yesterday. I received an email from a man that I knew in the Torrance Church in 1972. His father, mother, and his brothers. And he sent me an email. And he said that the latest CD that he got inspired him so much that he called his mother and put the phone down and played it for her. Now, she lived several miles away from him. So he really thanked me for it, sent the email, and left his mother's number. So I called his mother and talked to her. I had a very, very nice conversation with her. And I said, by the way, could you give me your son's phone number? So she gave it to me. So I called the number and talked to him. And the reason that I bring this up is because to let you know that there are many thousands of people using our website for their own church at home right now. And he said that he would download the sermons. Of course, they're all MP3 converted now, which makes an easy download if you have a broadband. And that they would get together with different ones up there. He said there are a number of people that he gets together with, even in addition to his mother. And so let me bring you up to date on the website. Now, we began keeping the statistics in 2002. So in this report, our webmaster, Ron Carey, sent me 2002, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So I'll just quickly go over some of the numbers. Okay? 2002. Now remember this. Think of this. cbcg.org. No one's going to sit there and say, I wonder how I can find out about a church. Oh, yes, ding, cbcg.org. That's it. Doesn't happen that way. So what they do is they do a Google search on a topic or Christian or biblical truth or whatever. And so the Google search, and I think they now have Yahoo search that is also increasing. So they have the both. And let's just look at it this way. Come back here to Daniel, the 12th chapter, for just a minute, because I want to bring out something that is a prophecy, which we have covered before. But let's look at it again because of what is happening technologically. And there was just an article in the paper this morning talking about the technology that they have, which is going to absolutely explode what has already been exploding. Now, Daniel 12. Let's pick it up here in verse 4. Now, we've come there many, many times before, but what we need to realize is that this is given in the 6th century B.C., and it is an ever-increasing in magnitude fulfillment. Verse 4. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book. Now, Daniel was really disappointed in this because he wanted to know all about the prophecies that he gave. And God told him, well, it's not for you to know. Okay? Even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. All you have to do, be on the freeway, be on a train, be on a plane, be on a subway, any means of conveyance. Are we going to and fro? How far do you drive? What do you do? I couldn't function with what we do without having to drive, without not being able to fly. You know, if I took a trip to Seattle like I'm going to do here in March, I would have to set out on horseback and do 20, 25 miles a day. And that being 1,200 miles, that would take me 12 weeks to get there, 4 days a week. And if it was 5 days a week, then it would take me 10. And, you know, and if I did it 7 days a week, 6 days a week, I could probably get up there in 9 months. Now I can go up to the airport, get on the plane at 10 o'clock in the morning, and land at noon. I can call and make arrangements, which I do wherever I travel, and I'm going to be doing a lot of traveling in March, as I mentioned in my letter. I can call the hotel, I can set up the meeting, I can set up the meal, and I can get everything done. I can reserve my room, they can fax me the information, I can sign it, give them my credit card, and it's a done deal. So it's quite different. Now, many shall run to and fro. Now the next one, knowledge shall be increased. Now there are two forms of knowledge that is being increased. Number one, the knowledge of things in the world and universe and industry and knowledge and understanding, especially how human beings are, and I really, really encourage everyone, if you haven't seen it, and if you don't get the National Geographic Channel, write to us, and we will send you a copy of the video that Dolores stayed up and made one night for us on In the Womb. And it shows how babies are developed from conception. And they now have the means of what they call 4D, which means instead of just having ultrasound and you kind of get a shadowy picture of the baby, they now have the means to enhance it and you can see exactly what the baby is. And it shows beginning from conception and what happens. So if you haven't seen that, get that. This increases the knowledge. The knowledge of God's Word is also increasing. We know more today than ever before. Now here's a promise. Come down here to verse 8. And I heard, but I didn't understand, after when he said that all these things shall be finished. So God is going to complete what he's going to do. And the thing to understand is this. The Word of God, because God says so, is true. Now, there can be mistranslations, but all of those can be studied out and know what is the truth. So we don't need to worry about that. But God can cause men to be inspired to write what he wants written, because he has the power to do it. So he says, all these things shall be finished. Verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, ah, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel. Daniel's big disappointment. For the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, that is through God qualifying them for salvation, and made white and tried, because living in this world, being a Christian, a true Christian, is a difficult proposition. But the wickedly shall do wicked. The wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. And we find that more and more and more and more, don't we? But the wise shall understand. Now, when we understand and realize that there are probably 450 churches of God in the world, and as I have mentioned, I hope and pray that every one of them, and I'll bring you some things here in just a little bit, about how God is beginning to do that with other churches of God. That we all repent and get close to God. Let him use all of them to preach the gospel to the world, to help the brethren, to teach them, to nurture them, to help them have a relationship with God. And that's their duty wherever they are. Now, to show you how our website has been having a far more increasing impact, I'll just give you a few statistics here. 2002, for the whole year, we had 32,361 visits, distinct visitors. 2003, 89,769. 2004, 178,039. 2005, 255,471. 2006, 359,575. The pages downloaded in 2002, 167,077. And in 2006, 1,025,659. The number of gigabytes downloaded in 2002, 18. In 2006, 1,338 gigabytes. Visits per day, 2002, 89. 2006, 985, and it progressed all the way through. Pages downloaded per day, 419. 2006, 2,810. Bytes per day, 2002, 46 megabytes. 2002, 46 megabytes. 2006, 3.67 megabytes per day. That's the whole capacity of Dolores' new... she has 120 gigabytes on her new computer. 130. Okay? Now, you'll have that whole chart coming out with it. So this means that we are reaching out to people. Now let's look at what Isaiah says concerning the end time. Let's come to Isaiah, the first chapter. And it's very interesting how all of this, though we look out and see it, is you know, kind of a phenomenon that we see in the world. But nevertheless, it was prophesied. And this is why it is so important, and the knowledge is getting out more and more and more and more. Who are the true descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob today, beyond just the Jews? And there have been books written by Steve Collins. It's being preached more and more. Other organizations are doing it. So God is using many, many different groups at different levels to accomplish what he wants done. To witness to the world, to feed the flock, to teach the brethren, to serve the remnant. Now, as we mentioned before, there are two remnants. There are the remnants of the church of God that need to be fed and grow in grace and knowledge. There are the remnants of people in the world who want to know about God. Okay? Now, so here is a perfect description of Western civilization right here. Talks about Israel. Now, verse 4, Isaiah 1. A sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. You can think of all the crime. You can think of all the sins. You can think of all the pornography, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, law breaking, etc., 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 etc. A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They provoke the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Now, as I read these next verses, I want you to think about the state of Western civilization today, and I want you to think about the reaction of the politicians that we have today. Just kind of have a broad picture of it here. Why should you be stricken anymore? Will you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed up, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, and we go through cycles of this, don't we? Floods, fire, storms. Look at last year, we had how many hurricanes hit. Your cities are burned with fire. We just had that in Southern California again, didn't we? And it will increase. Just like the prophecy of Daniel 12, it increases. It goes ahead. See, what this does, this helps answer the question, why are we the way that we are? Okay? Strangers devoured your land, strangers devoured in your presence, and it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Just so many things overtaking it, uncontrollable. And what happens when, in this description, it chokes it off? Now, here's something to understand about God. Whenever he sets out to bring judgment, which he brings, he always opens the door of repentance and hope. That's what we need to understand. Because God doesn't delight in the death of the wicked. He delights in that the wicked would repent. Now notice verse 9, and here's a key thing. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. That made very small, okay. And in Elijah's day, which was before Isaiah, God told Elijah that 7,000, a remnant of 7,000, had not bowed the knee to Baal. See? We should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like Gomorrah. So then he says, hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Then he goes through and he says, what is the purpose of all this you're doing? The sacrifices, the religious meetings, the solemn assemblies, and so forth. Come down here to verse 15. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. So wash you, make you clean. So God gives a choice. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And as I mentioned in my last sermon on Keys to Answered Prayer number 9, the whole nature of God is love and mercy and forgiveness and kindness and understanding. That's one side of the coin. The other side is commandments and laws and statutes and judgment. Because you can't have kindness, mercy, and forgiveness unless there's repentance. So you put those two together as it were like a coin. So there are two sides of the coin, as it were. So he says, verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now let me bring you up on a couple of things that have been happening recently. Right here in the United States. Now, I got a call from Tom Roberts, who is with the Church of God Seventh Day in Meridian, Idaho. And Dolores and I used to live right in Meridian, Idaho. And when we lived there, you would come in town and there would be a rounding 90-degree turn, and right in the corner lot was this framework that they had for tent meetings. And every year they'd have their tent meetings. And at that time, they weren't keeping the holy days. But now they are. And I want to tell you this, there are a whole lot more people keeping the holy days. And one thing that God has driven into our minds deeply, the importance of the holy days. And I think you're going to see this to be very interesting here. So he called, and he said that for they have online studies, online courses that they do. And he asked me about this before, but he wanted to reconfirm it. Can we use the harmony, your harmony of the Gospels for our lessons, for our school, which is also online? And I said, yes, you can use it. See, because the purpose of doing these things is to get the word out. So what this is doing with what he's doing, he's also feeding the remnant of God. Now, when you understand, and if you go online to Bible Sabbath Association, you will see there are literally hundreds and hundreds of churches, small and great, of God, which preach the Sabbath and the holy days in varying degrees of understanding. And what we have had is this, because of doing the Passover book and because of doing the occult holiday, holy day book, and now this holy day book, more and more of the churches of God are questioning their leadership about Pentecost and the first resurrection, because we've been preaching that for a long, long time, and that is the only thing that makes sense. Okay. So he gave me the phone number of a man named Dr. Webb, and he actually called me before I called him. So I was sitting there in the office, and Dr. Webb called. Now, Dr. Webb on the East Coast is a man who does this. His specialty is going to Sunday-keeping churches and teaching them about the Sabbath and the holy days, and there are 8 whole churches back there that have changed. Now, he got his information from the Duggar group over in Jerusalem. Now, this is interesting. He called to get our books so we can help them. Now, something else is very important that Tom Roberts let me know about. And I called this man and talked to him, and his name is, he's an elder in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. John L. Vandenberg, B-U-R-G-H, and he is Dutch. He is in contact with over 100,000 people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, various churches, and he teaches the holy days. So you see, there are remnants that God is dealing with that we know nothing about. And I think it's interesting that God is working it out that they contact us. Now, we're not looking to join forces. Please understand that. Because in dealing with Seventh-day Adventists, you have to deal with Ellen G. White. And some of Ellen G. White's writings are actually good because she advocated the Passover and holy days, in addition to all the other things that she has done, some good, some bad, and so forth. But the SDAs have been preaching for years that the holy days were ceremonial and were done away when the sacrifices were done away. And guess what he teaches in his book here? an innovative approach to holy history with commandments, statutes, and judgments, referring to the holy days. Now, I went through, and he starts with Colossians, the second chapter, and explains it the correct way. So here is the sum of the whole matter that you can apply and reach out as an umbrella thing. Anyone who is serious with God and who really wants to know the truth, today, it does not matter where you are. You can find God, you can understand His Word as never before. And as I mentioned, there are people in every religious denomination of every sort around the world. Within those organizations, there are going to be people seeking the truth of God and wanting to obey God. And so that's one of the things that is a fallout with false preachers. Sooner or later, it becomes so corrupt that people throw up their hands and say, I don't want any of this. That's why there are over 20 million people staying at home studying their Bibles today. And that's why it's important that we get church at home up and going. So I called this gentleman. So in talking to this John Vandenberg, and by the way, he's located in Tarabella, California, which is between Bakersfield and Fresno. So I told him, well, I go down to Monrovia every other month. I'd like to meet you, and I could stop down on my way down. He said, oh, I'd love that. That would be great. That would be great. So we sent him Passover book, Harmony, New Testament, Occult Holidays, God's Holy Days, and so forth. And then I read in his book here, see, he's got things like the Passover question, all the other holy days. He has here continuity of Passover, New Testament references, Feast of Tabernacles, and so forth. And he is reaching out to a lot of Seventh-day Adventists. So I read here, that William Miller, he wrote this, anciently the year did not commence in midwinter as now, but at the first new moon after the vernal equinox. Well, that is not quite correct. It is the first new moon closest to what would be the vernal equinox. But Passover has to be after the equinox. So I saw that, and I asked him, I said, do you have any problems with the calendar? And he said, yeah, we have people who believe in the roving Sabbath. See? And I said, which is this. You look, and it's the full moon, and that's the first day of the week. And then you count 7 days, and then you have Sabbath. And then you wait for the next full moon, which is going to be on a different day. And then you count 7 days, and then you have Sabbath. And he says, yes. I said, well, I said, in keeping the holy days, you're going to be confronted with all of these things. And I said, we have lots of calendar material showing why the calculated Hebrew calendar is what we should use. And by the way, we have the world's best calculated Hebrew calendar program online and available on CD. I didn't tell him that. Because he's got to come to that point of understanding about the calendar. But I said, well, you're going to have a lot of calendar problems, you know, and a lot of sacred name problems, and a lot of individual doctrine problems. So I said, I'm sending you this information which will help you. So I hope it does. So he also sent me some of his CDs, and on one of his CDs, which caught my attention when Tom Roberts was first telling me about it, let me just mention this. the SDAs connect their origin to the Waldensians. Okay? That's why we have the video Israel of the Alps, all about the Waldensians. They were Sabbath keepers, but a lot of them were also holy day keepers. And in his new discoveries from old manuscripts that he sent me, he has some medieval hymns dedicated to be sung on the holy days by the Waldensians. Now, they were located in the Alps, north of Italy and on into southern France, and God protected them there until they began to compromise. Okay? Now, let's come to Revelation 2 and 3. Let's see something interesting concerning the churches of God. No. Before we go there, let's go to Jeremiah 23. Beg your pardon. Back up. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Now, for anyone who wants to profess to be a real prophet, I suggest you read about God's commission to Jeremiah and ask the question, do I really want this? And what God told Ezekiel to do and say, am I willing to do this? Okay. So we shouldn't set ourselves up as any great thing. What we need to do is let God show us and teach us and use us in the way that he wants to, you see. So let's begin here in verse 9. And Jeremiah had to experience some very terrible and horrible things, even the invasion and carrying away of the Jews to Babylon. The three invasions. And he saw all the sins that were going on ahead of time. And as I've mentioned before, sins affect the environment. And global warming. I'm going to bring a sermon on it here pretty soon. Global warming is not the result of human activity from carbon dioxide. It is the result of human activity called sin. Now let's read it right here, verse 9. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. Now that's all the religious leaders. Now, as I read this, what I want you to do, I want you to think about the different religions in the world that are in America and Western civilization. I want you to think about all the false brands of Christianity that are out there because they always preach in the name of the Lord. So I want you to take a broad view of this. He says, I'm like a drunken man, like a man who has been overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. Not only just the action of it, but there are 79 million people addicted to pornography. Just in America. And think what it's like in the other countries around the world. Especially in Asia. For because of swearing, the land mourns. Now, this is cursing, railing against God, changing his word. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Think of it. Comment was made, you used to be able to go out and go camping and feel safe and get away from everything, but now you go out camping, you may be assaulted, you may be killed, you may be raped, everything may be taken from you. Or you may come across someone growing marijuana, which is a $6 billion crop in California alone. And you may be gunned down, or you may walk into one of these Vietnam war era type of traps, which is they spring load sharp stakes, and you trip the wire, and they go right into you, and you're dead meat. Here's why. Verse 11. For both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house, that is in the very temple of God in Jerusalem, have I found their wickedness. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, and I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation. Now let me just comment here of what we read earlier concerning the ecumenization of religions. That's what it's talking about here. They are seeking a solution to their problems in their own way rather than God's way. Now, let's come over here. Verse 19, Jeremiah 23. And again, I want you to think about today. Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. Now think of tornadoes, hurricanes, winds blasting. Even in Germany this winter, they had winds up to 120 miles an hour. Unheard of. And it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he has executed, until he has performed the thoughts of his heart in the latter days. That's where we are, isn't it? You shall consider, that is, understand this perfectly. Now he says, verse 21, I've not sent these prophets. See, the one who has God's word is going to take care of it faithfully. See, as we'll see in a minute. Yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, which shows God is no respecter of persons. You understand that? If you follow the word of God, God will bless you. Now notice how good and gracious God is even in spite of the false prophets. Okay. If they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, sola scriptura, that's what they claim with the switch in the Episcopal Church. And that was the original cry of Protestantism. But they failed. If they had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Again, God is interested in repentance, isn't he? Yes. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? You can see that with everything that he's created. I've heard what these prophets said. They prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. And if you watch any of these preachers on television, that's what a lot of them come up with. Or they say, the Lord spoke to me. Verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that has a dream. Now here's finally the dividing line which we are seeing today. And it's happened in cycles, down through history, over and over again. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, and this is what every minister and elder and preacher and teacher needs to understand. He that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. So you see, even these false prophets, if they would have been faithful to the word of God, God would have recognized that. Think of that. That's why it's so silly for people to have exclusive churches and there's no one else in the world but us six. Which even one man said, we're the only ones. Well, that limits God. God isn't going to be limited by anyone. Let's fast forward this and turn it to the other side, please. Let's continue on in verse 29. Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord? Like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I'm against the prophet, says the Lord, that steal my words and say, thus says the Lord, and he hasn't said. Behold, I'm against the prophet, says the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he says. Behold, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and do tell them. And cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness, yet I sent them not nor commanded them, therefore they shall not profit the people at all, says the Lord. Then you can read the rest of it. Down here, the last part of verse 36, the last sentence says, for you have perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. So then, he says down here, verse 39, therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, will forsake you, and the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Now, the point is this, is that God expects his church and his people to be faithful to his word. Now, when they are not faithful to his word, then God intervenes just like he did there, and God then corrects. Now, let's come to Revelation 2. I'm not going to go through all of Revelation 2 and 3. We've got lots of tapes on that, so if you'd like the information on that, you can write in for it or email us or call the office, one of the two. But what I want to do, since I have been focusing in on the Seventh-day Adventists and those who are teaching the holy days, and since they claim to come from the Waldensians, which is very likely to be true, let's read about the church of Thyatira, which historically is in that time frame. And I'm going to see if I can get the information off the CD about that, about the medieval hymns and the holy days. Now, he says here concerning the church at Thyatira. So God holds his own people responsible. Whenever the people of God sin and don't repent, God will intervene to cause trials and difficulties to come upon them to wake them up so they will repent. And that's all a part of God's mercy. And part of God's understanding. It's not that God has something contrary to you. He just wants you to grow in grace and knowledge and the character of his Son, Jesus Christ. And all a part of that is the complete change that we need through conversion, which I'll talk about more during the days of unleavened bread. Now let's pick it up here in verse 18, Revelation 2. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write. Now, before we get into it, just mention one thing. Since it talks about seven churches, there's more than just one church. And out of that, there has to be many different organizations. And today, I think we are going to see a multiplicity of churches and a multiplicity of organizations that if we all yield to God, God will use all of us to teach and to preach and to reach out to the remnant within the churches of God, the remnant within the other religions in the world, and the remnant that is in the world. Okay. These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, his feet are like fine brass. I know your works and your love and service and faith and your endurance. and your works and the last are more than the first. Now, I wonder if that fits in with what we're talking about here with what John Vandenberg is dealing here. How far will it go? He's in contact with over 100,000 SDAs. But I have a few things against you, because you have allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants into committing fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. Now, Jezebel was the daughter of the high priest of Baal. So this is Sunday worship. This is Christmas, Easter, and all of the pagan holidays rolled together. It's what it's talking about. Who set herself up as a prophetess, just like the Roman Catholic Church, so this is referring to it, and seducing my servants into committing fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols, which is this, causing the people of God to forsake God and follow the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church, which many of the Waldensians did, and like worldwide has, and other churches of God. See, because Satan wants to come after those who love God and keep his commandments. See? Now, verse 21. Now, notice how God works again. He always gives a space of repentance. I gave her time to repent of her fornication, but she did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their works. Now, this is Christ talking, see. Eternal life is so great that God wants it to be right, and he wants us to be right with him. And this also tells us this, contrary to what we read earlier about ecumenizing all the religions, people want to come to God on their terms, which goes all the way back to Cain and is called the way of Cain. You go to God and tell God what you will do. That's what they're doing here. Oh, we need to keep the morality, see. But let's not get involved in what are the things concerning God. Let's just keep our morality. And you have your God, and you have your God, and you have your God, and we can all get along. That's not the truth of the Bible, you see. So, God gives repentance here. He said, unless they repent, I'll cast her into a bed and so forth, unless they repent of their works. God always gives us a space of time to repent. Isn't that wonderful? God is not like a man with a big fly swatter, who when he sees a fly, smashes it up on the wall. Gotcha! See? Or like an overpressing a tyrant who gets rid of flies with a 105 howitzer. He focuses in on it on the wall, and sure enough, he gets the fly, but he blows up the whole house. And some people do that. But if they don't repent, that's what's going to happen. So he gave them time to repent. Since they won't, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know I am he who searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. But I say to you and the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will not cast upon you any other burden, but hold fast what you have until I come. So I truly believe that what is going on with the SDAs and holy day keeping has to fit into this in the way of part of their repentance, that the last works are greater than the first. Now, I want to point something else out to you also. All of those of you who have gone through the worldwide Church of God experience know what happened to the church. Became rich and increased with goods, and they became satisfied. They began preaching overbearing hierarchy, and they began preaching false doctrines, and gradually they were infiltrated by enemies because they didn't repent. And now that church no longer exists. They had an income of almost $200 million a year at the height of what they had. They had some of the choicest property in Pasadena, California, Bricketwood, England, and Big Sandy, Texas. They had thousands of ministers. 170,000 people attended the Feast of Tabernacles worldwide. And the true believers were scattered. That's why we have the remnant of so many churches of God today. They rejected the Sabbath. They rejected the holy days. They jumped headlong. And if you've seen the latest ad on television about NyQuil, where they pour some NyQuil or DayQuil into a little plastic cup, and then it shows the woman jumping into it. Well, that's kind of the way that Worldwide did in jumping into all of the pagan doctrines of Sunday and Christmas and Easter and New Year's of all. They just jumped in headlong, and God had to take the whole church down. Now, brethren are scattered many, many places in the world, many, many different little groups, many that we don't even know about. Some are bigger, some are smaller. Now, about a month and a half ago, and I didn't know it until I got a call later, a man named Earl Timmons, who used to be in Pasadena and was there working on the campus and was an integral part of doing things with the work and so forth, not a preacher, just a man who has done a lot of construction work and plumbing work and things like that. So anyway, he called while I was there in the office, and I talked to him all about 2 weeks ago. And they knew nothing about us until someone sent him some of our tapes. When he got the tapes, it just blew him away. So he called and said, can we send these out to the people on our mailing list? We have 1,200 on our mailing list. And I said, yeah, go ahead, send them out. That'd be fine, whatever you want to do. So he wants to meet with me. Since he's in Tennessee, when I go back to Atlanta during Unleavened Bread, he's going to come down there and I'll be able to meet with him. But he told me something very interesting. Because he wants to use some of what we do on radio stations. We'd have to make it conform to that and so forth. But he said that he had something that we'd be very interested to hear. I'll let you guess what that may be. Having to do with media and communication over the radio and television. They were able to secure and take over the rights to the name The World Tomorrow. I got it right here. How they did that, I don't know. I'll ask them when I see them.
Maybe they let it.
So he is serious in using our material under the guise of The World Tomorrow.
On radio.
And he also says on your community free beat television, he knows how to get on those. See?
Wow.
So that may be something that we can think about. Now, again, we're not going to run out and necessarily join forces. But it shows this, which I think is interesting. God is beginning to do something with the churches of God that has not been done because of all the wounds and bruises that had to be healed up to this point. And now's the time, if you've had a bad experience with Worldwide Church of God, and you have bad memories, hateful memories, bitterness, delusionment, and all of that, I say, now's the time, get over it and move forward. Comment was made, there's a commercial on television showing two cars coming that hit head on, and they break up into pieces and in slow motion scatter all over, And then, I guess it's for insurance, so you can get your car repaired and reinstated. And then it gradually shows them coming. They reverse it, and it looks like it's coming back together, you see. So I think that's what God maybe is doing with the churches of God. Not to, I reiterate again, put it in one single organization, because that is no longer efficient. See, now a lot of people are surprised by what we do, because we're not all centralized. We have a small office of 1,300 square feet, or 1,600 square feet, rather. Two suites. Those who do work for us work in their homes. We have three women who do transcriptions. They work in their homes. John and Heidi Vogely work in their home in Montana. Freeman Scott works in his home for the series duplication in Cortland, Ohio. Jim and Betty Hiles work in their homes. They do the care packages. Dolores takes care of all of the mail processing and handling, and she works at home. Oh, yes, Phil Neal, our editor, he works in his home in Mississippi. Now, if we had to bring everybody into a central location and live in Hollister, we would have to have 10 times the money that God sends in now, so that they could have high wages, because if you have to buy a home and live in Hollister, you're looking at $2,400 to $2,500 to $3,000 a month for any kind of home because of the price of homes, see? And we would have to have a building, a big metal building to do all of this in. And we had some new brethren that were baptized during the Feast of Tabernacles, and they came out from the Chicago area. And when they came down to visit the office, they were overwhelmed that it was just two suites. And they said, "We thought you'd have a big metal building, and there'd be a lot of people around." And I said, "Well, that isn't the way that God's worked it out. And the way we have it this way is because we have had whatever money God sends in." And I remember the first financial report that I put out was $25,000 for the whole year. That included what I gave making as a loan broker, because we just had like about 8, 10, or 12 people then. This year, we have passed $1 million. And we are still as frugal as we were the day we started. And Dolores ensures that we will. So you need to understand, anyone who's worried about me going astray, my wife is right there. And she will say, "Fred?" Which is good. Which is good. And she's burned indelibly in my mind. She has made one spot in my mind, so when I preach, it is, "Fred, just talk. We don't need all the vanity and strutting back and forth and all the self and all this sort of thing." See, because it's the words of God that are important, and the messenger compared to the word of God is actually secondary. See? That's the way it has to be. And if we keep it in perspective, then we won't go astray. So that's where we are. And I think it's interesting that when you look at all of the books that we have put together, every one of them concentrate on what? Passover, Sabbath, holy days, love of God. And so now, different ones God is causing to come to us to look for assistance. We're very glad to help them any way we can. And we don't think that, and we know for sure that there are many, many, many different organizations out there. And so when you pray daily and you pray for the brethren wherever they are in the world, you pray and ask God to work in their lives, because God is capable to handle every single person in the world. If they all got down on their knees and prayed to God, He is able and capable of personally answering all those prayers. And for those who yield to God and want to do His will, He's perfectly able and capable through Jesus Christ and what He has laid out to help them, to bring them forgiveness, to bring them to repentance, to lead them to the understanding of His Word, if they're willing. Now, the thing is, we don't know when the end is going to be. We know we're getting closer every day to it. But we also do not know what God is going to do in this world and how far that it will go. Now, as many of you know, we have a prison program where we send out our books free to prisoners because prisoners, especially those in the lower levels of correction, they understand they're there because they've sinned, and they understand they're there because they've gone away from God. And many of them have programs which help them. And many of them are religious and Bible programs, too, that help them. So our program is this. That's why we have the New Testament in softback. And currently what we are sending them when they write in is the softcover New Testament, and we send them the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Now here's a letter which is very similar to many letters that we get. Minister Fred Coulter and staff, hello sir, my name is such and such. I'm incarcerated at such and such correctional unit. I've been in the Department of Corrections since 2003. I'm scheduled to be released July 31st, 2008. Now, while just put in your notes there, Luke, the fourth chapter, and I think it's verse 16 through about 19, that one of the things that Christ does is to help people who are in prison. And if you have a cable TV and you have MSNBC, just spend a couple of hours watching the documentaries that they have on the prisons and how they treat some of them. They give them 1 hour a day out of the concrete steel cell. They have no money. They can't buy anything. And those, just like this man here, who's in for a total of 5 years, God can deal with them in prison. Yes. Comment was made that nearly all the prisoners have no one, no family. They're alone. They're condemned. And all they have is the uniform on their back. So we send these to them free. They don't have any money. And we follow what Jesus said, freely give because you freely received. And this gives them hope. If you're locked up that way, you've got to have some hope. Now, how far it will go in their lives, that's between them and God. But if we can give them some hope and they can get out and get their lives more normalized at a bare minimum, but also an opportunity for God to call them. The lifers are the ones who are in the worst situation at all. And it actually makes them insane. And the truth of the matter is, life in prison is cruel and unusual punishment because it makes you go insane. And that's why God said, if someone has done a crime worthy of death, he should die, because God will take care of them later in the second resurrection. That's why God said that. See? Very few of them are allowed to have any tapes, but those that do, we have to send them in clear cases. They cannot have books with hard covers. Must be soft covers. They cannot be charged. And I remember one prison back there in Virginia, We sent so many there because they have actual Bible study groups right there. And they're using the New Testament for their Bible study groups. That we sent so many New Testaments to them, probably like 40 or 50, that the chaplain and the warden wrote a letter to be assured that they will not be billed for these later on. So we wrote them and said, yes, you won't be billed. We give these freely. Now he says here, and here's a start. Now you think about this. You're sitting in prison. You're thinking about all that you've gone through. You're thinking about what you have done. God's Spirit is working with you to lead you to understanding, to begin to give you a calling, to begin to give you a desire to want to know about God. So he said, on February 16th, 2002, I gave my life to the Lord fully and wholeheartedly. I have since that time studied the Word of God daily with intentions of serving my Lord upon my release. I feel very confident of my future and the will of God being done in my life. I pray for this every day. I've been very fortunate to have a mate, Mr. Richard Walker Jr. Is he the one that gets tapes? Okay, yeah, he gets tapes. Okay. He is here at the facility as well. So I noticed that he had a copy of the New Testament in its original order, a faithful version with commentary, of which I have been seeking for some time. I would truly like to obtain a copy of this book of the Word of God. I have no means for paying for it at this time due to my incarceration. However, if I may be of service to your work in the Lord's will, you will be able to contact me at my sister's, and then gives her address. If you could possibly help me in obtaining a copy of this book, I would appreciate it. I would like to thank you for your time and response in this matter. Please send any correspondence concerning this issue to me at the following address. And then he puts P.S. Do not forget the state incarceration number. Doris brought up, because she handles all the incoming funds, that one of the prisoners, to show you where his heart is, and you compare this with those people who are out there and claim there's no tithing, he tithes by sending U.S. postage stamps. Two or three at a time. See? Well, that's greater than the greatest amount of riches someone puts in, as far as God is concerned in the heart. Now here's from Kashan Eiley. Kashan Eiley, who is over in Ethiopia, and he has translated about four of our books and pamphlets. The first one he translated was The Day Jesus the Christ Died. He translated it in Hamalek. And guess how he first produced it? He wrote us and said, well, I'd like to translate for you. So Jim and I talked about it, and we said, go ahead. Well, he did. He translated the whole book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died, by hand. With a ballpoint pen. Now, this told Jim and I, this fellow's got to be serious. So we did send him some money to get a computer and send him money to get the program to have the Hamalek language. So now he has done it in the Hamalek language, and here we have the latest one he did, Christmas, the Greatest Story Never Told. Now, here's the latest email from him. And he's gone through things that none of us have gone through. He's been preaching in different areas of Ethiopia, and they are just really devouring everything that he has in Hamalek and causing a stir, a great stir, so much that one time they were attacked by a mob of men and several of them were wounded and stabbed. And so here we sit in America, fat and sassy, and too many people contemptuous of God. Now you compare that with what he's doing over there. And he hasn't asked for any money except for some production cost. And we've encouraged him that all of those people that you come in contact with and want to be with you and assemble with you, that you should teach them about tithing, so whatever you're doing over there eventually can be supported over there. Which is good. Here it is. Got it in my hand. Oh, and also, we sent him a centerfold stapler. So he could do this, and I think it's 9 by 12 paper that they have there, so this would be 18 by 12 paper that they have over there, and he can center staple it. So we just got this in the mail on Friday. Amazing. Now let me read a little bit of what he sent here. He says, I'm sorry I haven't written for the past 10 days, so I've been busy. I spend much of my time in translating occult holidays and God's holy days, and I am now completed. Very glad. Today I will begin typing it on the computer, and it sometimes it takes some time to complete in the full book. Two other little publications are already translated. How did Jesus fulfill the law of God? Very important, basic information, you see. When was Jesus the Christ born? The Christmas booklet, which has already been printed, and I will send a copy of it next week. I got it right here. I assure you that I will not distribute these booklets for anyone, but only to those who are on our mailing list. So he's gradually building a mailing list. Okay. Now, someone made the comment to me, I think it was Jim, that what he is doing over there and what we're helping him do is more than was ever done by private jets and flying apostles to meet the king of Ethiopia and tell the king, you're responsible for preaching the gospel after I've witnessed to you, which he never did witness to him, which is entirely incorrect. Week by week, God is blessing our Sabbath fellowship. We're spending quality time in our fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, and they are helping us to grow in grace and knowledge. Now, their Sabbath lasts almost all day, and yet people in the churches of God in America are so complacent they can hardly sit still for 45 minutes. That's why we always take breaks, okay? Though we go longer, all right? Last week and today, I got two mails from Ron requesting our literature, so someone in Ethiopia emails our website, and Ron sends it back to him to give it to him. I am always surprised when I get the emails from you. People out there are still interested to know the truth of the hour and desire to be released from the bondage of believing lies. I have sent them what they request. It is a great honor to serve people to know more about God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We are faithfully praying for those who are in trouble. Please tell them that the family of CBCG in Ethiopia are always thinking and praying for them. I'll write soon. God bless. So that's amazing. Now, we also have things that we're doing in Ethiopia and Kenya, as well as Canada and Australia and New Zealand and Ghana and the British Isles. And just last week, we got our first request from Russia. And that was sent to the office in United Kingdom, so they're going to send it out of the office there. But they forwarded the email to me, and we have a man who lives in Sacramento who speaks and writes Russian. So I gave him the email and asked him to email the man in Russia and say, hello, whatever it is in Russian, you know. And he said he asked him to communicate to him in Russian so he could brush up on his Russian, but he doesn't have a font in his computer to do Russian orders. Is he skilled in typing it? So he said, you send it to me in Russian to help me build up my Russian ability, and I'll answer you in English to help you with your English ability. So that's the very, very first one. And like I've told people before, because we are scattered now, they say, well, is there anyone near me? And I said, no. And then I tell them, someone has got to be first. So here we go. And I've told that to people, someone's got to be first. Now, a lot of them have fellowship groups, 6, 8, 10, 12. And I got another email I'll tell you about that says, we draw down your sermons every Sabbath, and about 12 of us get together, and we study with our Bibles. Draw down on the website. And I also know that other ministers of other churches of God come to our website on Friday and draw down their sermon material for the Sabbath. Which is fine with me. That doesn't bother me. As long as the brethren are getting the truth. They don't even have to say they get it from there. But I hope one of these days their conscience will smote them and then they will reveal the thing. See. So, what I want to do is just encourage you this. Though we're scattered, though we're spread out, though we're small in number, there are many, many different groups in the world in the same way, and God is with all of them, leading them to do what He wants done. And any way we can help them, to strengthen them in faith and knowledge and understanding and the holy days and the Sabbath, we have the material to do it and give to them. So that ends the sermon for today. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihai, Waihi, 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilrow, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, Postal Code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.